So, at this time, we're going to have an opening prayer done by our dear sister, Joyce Rivers.
Thank you, Sister Katrina. Sisters, will you please join with me as we go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight, all the sisters on the line and all the sisters that heart wanted to be here but couldn't, Father, just coming to you with the privilege of prayer. Father, I ask forgiveness of all my sins for today, whether it was in thought, word, or deed. Father, continue to clean us up and make us a pleasant smelling savor to you, Father. Father, I thank you for Jesus, for the salvation that he gave us as he hung on that rugged cross. Father, we thank you that we have the avenue of prayer. It's such a precious gift that we have, and we know that you hear us. You say you hear the prayers of the righteous, Father. Father, you said where there are one or two gathered in your name, Father, that you would be there in the midst of us. Father, so all the sisters on the line gather tonight with me, Father, coming to you asking that we clear our minds, we clear our hearts, and that we concentrate on the wonderful word that we're going to get, that it's going to help us, it's going to strengthen us. Father, we know that you are our protector, our provider, you are almighty God, you are our comforter, and you are our healer. Father, we pray that you bless all the admins, all the admin assistants who work so diligently, and all the sisters who work in many of the ministries, Father, to bring light to a dark, sin, sick world. Father, we thank you for just being here tonight. We ask you to bless the speaker, Sister Natisha, and everything that she has studied, Father, that we may be attentive, take good notes, and, Father, and apply it to our lives. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit that comforts us, that in any time we get derailed or are not sure of which way to go, we have a light to our path. We have a light that helps us. Father, thank you so much for all the sisters and the love that we give each other. It means a lot. Father, in your Son's precious name, I do give honor and glory and thank you for this opportunity to come to you with my other sisters in Christ. I pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Joyce Rivers, for that powerful, powerful opening prayer. Now at this time, we're going to have our welcome team salute, and that will be done by our dear sister, Marie Murray Isher.
Good evening, sisters. I am happy to be doing our welcome team salute. The Lady Prayer Warriors welcome team salutes you tonight. Our team leader is Sister Vivian Mills. Our team secretary is Sister Marie Murray Isher. Our team consists of 25 sisters, including all the administrators and admin assistants. We are the hospitality team, and our main role is to ensure that your entrance into the Lady Prayer Warriors is unforgettable. We will walk you through the process and help you to navigate the website, as well as point you to the many teams that exist within the group. You will be amazed at the wonderful work of the Lady Prayer Warriors, and you will be excited about wanting to be of service for the Lord. Our focus is our 100 days of prayer, which started on January 1st, 2023, and will go all the way to April 10th, 2023. We take this opportunity to thank all our committed and dedicated sisters who have given themselves to this 100 days of prayer journey. Please feel free to visit our website where you can find all the important information related to our LPW work. Our website is located at www.ladyprayerwarriorscoc.com. Lastly, and importantly, we invite you to join our team. Please feel free to reach out to our team leader, Sister Vivian Mills, or our Welcome Team Task Force, headed by Sister Bridges White and supported by team members Sister Marie and Sister Beverly White, to learn how to become a member of the Welcome Team. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Marie, for that informative Welcome Team salute. Thank you for telling us about our Welcome Team. All right, sisters, now at this time, we're going to have a scripture reading, and our scripture reading is going to be by our dear sister, Brenda Mason.
Good evening, sisters. Thank you, Sister Katrina, for hosting on tonight. The scripture will be coming from Psalms 51, 1 through 19. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was sharpened in the iniquity, and in the sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit, with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors their way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thy walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks unto thine altar. I have read Psalms 51, verses 1 through 19. May the Lord add a blessing to his reading. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Now at this time, we're going to have a song by our songbird, our dear sister, Cheryl D. Anderson.
Thank you, sis. Give me a clean heart so I may
Sister Sarah?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear. My phone was going in and out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Sarah, for that beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for allowing God to use your voice on tonight. All right, my dear sisters. Next, we will have the introduction of the speaker of the hour, and that will be done by our dear sister, Bridges White.
Thank you, Sister Katrina. Thank you for hosting. Good evening, my sisters. What a wonderful Friday night. You could have been anywhere, but we're all here together to get our praise on for the Master. I have the privilege of introducing a sister in Christ that's like a baby sister to me, and I'm just honored to do it. Her name is Sister Natissa Thompson. She worships at Virginia Avenue Church of Christ in Columbia, Mississippi, where she serves as the junior and toddler class Sunday school teacher. She was added to the body of Christ in December of 1998. She enjoys teaching youth to help motivate them in the Lord and to see their faces light up about God. She enjoys studying the Word of God with other brothers and sisters and hopes to grow and teach others the way. She became a Lady Prayer Warrior in 2010 and has participated in the 100 Days of Prayer ever since. She serves as one of the LPW administrators and the health team and leader. She was blessed to go to Northern Haiti along with our sister Sharaka Melton and our sister Katrina Stafford on her first mission trip and was humbled to serve brothers and sisters in a powerful way. She wants to allow God to continue to use her in whatever way he will and pray that her service will not be in vain. She's a 1994 graduate of Jackson State University with a BS in Business Administration. She is married to Brother Tony Thompson, and they have two adult children, Michael and India, and they have three beautiful grandchildren, Mylia, Iceland, and Jackson. She enjoys prayer time with other sisters in Christ, Bible lesson with sisters, and traveling. One of her favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. I present to some and introduce to others my little sis, Sister Natissa Thompson. You got it, sis. Love you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Bridges. Love you. Good evening to my sisters. Good evening. Thanking God, first of all, for just allowing me this opportunity to bring another lesson. I thank him for the Lady Prayer Warrior Administration and the assistant as well. And thank you to all our first-time callers being on. You are our honored guest, and I hope and pray that you will join us again for our next Friday night in as much as you can. Also, to all of our sisters in Christ, thank you all for being on as well. I want to also thank Sister Katrina for hosting on tonight for me and Sister Joyce Rivers for opening us up with the word of prayer. And thank you so much, Sister, and Sister Marie for doing that beautiful welcome salute. And to Sister Brenda Mason for stepping in and doing our scripture for tonight. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, for singing that beautiful song, Creating Me a Clean Heart. And to Sister Bridges, again, thank you for introducing me tonight. And I want to come ahead and thank our dear Sister Dorothy Jenkins, who will close us out in prayer. Thank you all so much for your service on tonight. Sisters, let us pray. Dear, kind, loving Heavenly Father, come once again approaching your throne of grace with thanksgiving in my heart, dear Lord. I humbly ask forgiveness of my sins, knowing unknowingly that this prayer will not be hindered, asking that you continue to bless me as I share this lesson, dear Lord, with my sisters and those that are on visiting, dear Lord, that something will be said to help us in our Christian journey, dear Lord. Asking, dear Lord, for guidance, strength always, and your power to continue to fill us with your love, your grace, mercy, dear Lord. I ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Sisters, our theme is for the month of January. It's Creating Me a Clean Heart from Psalms 51. And I wanted to kind of touch on my subtopic for tonight is move from a heart of sin to a heart of forgiveness. In 1 Samuel 15, we know that God said that David was a man after his own heart, who he sought to rule the people of Israel after Saul. And in Psalms 51, it tells us of his prayer of having a repentant heart. And we know the story of why he had a repentant heart, the story of him sinning with Bathsheba, Uriah's husband, and having him killed. And our sister Adrienne touched on that in her lesson last Friday. Now tonight, I want to talk about moving from a heart of sin to a heart of forgiveness. As Sister Brenda read that chapter for us, and we're going to break it down. It talks about David pleading out to God his heart. Asking, he poured out his heart to God and asking and pleading for his sins to be forgiven. Let us look at some main points tonight in my lesson. As we move from a heart of sin to a heart of forgiveness, I want to look at the nature of sin, sin of disobedience, overcoming sin, and God's blessings of forgiveness. What is the greatest affliction in the world? You may ask. Is it cancer? Is it heart disease? Is it crime? Is it war? No. The most terrible affliction is sin. S-I-N. Sin not only causes more misery than any other tribulation, but if it is not overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ, it will result in eternal punishment. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4 tells us that sin is the transgression of the law of God's law. 1 John 5 and 17 tells us all unrighteousness is sin. There are different kinds of sins. Let's look at the sins of immorality. Now, this sin looks at what is moral based on the scriptures rather than the human opinion. There are many passages in the New Testament that are prescribed by name to point out immoral sins. We know that those immoral sins is talked about in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32, 1 Corinthians 5 and 11, and chapter 6, 9 and 10, also in Colossians 3, 5 and through 9, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and also Romans 1, 29 through 31. These all show that sins of immorality, they may be divided also in three general categories. One category is our thoughts, sisters, our words, and our deeds. Jesus showed us in Matthew 15, 18 through 19 that these three produce sins. Some sins are thoughts like covetousness, desiring what others have. It can lead us to sin if it consumes our thoughts. What about lasciviousness, which causes us to lust? As Christians, we cannot allow our minds to be consumed with such. Also, our words must not be ones of sin, sisters. Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, Satan is constantly inventing new devices designed to lead men and women astray. Also, sins that are not mentioned in the Bible are gambling, even provocative dancing. Those things are not mentioned, but we know, according to the Word of God, those things can lead to sin if they're carried out. It is also possible for us to sin by omission, failing to do God's will. In James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 46, Christ describes the unrighteous are condemned for their failure to do, D-O, that little word, do good. If we know that we should visit the sick and we do not, we sin. If we know to help the needy and we do not, it is sin. If we fail to study, to pray, to worship God, when we know we should, we sin. Another sin of nature is sin of brotherly offense. Now, Paul, he tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 12. He said that we have to be responsible to our brethren and not sin against our brethren. In this passage, he talks about, well, I'm paraphrasing, he talks about eating meat. And the message, it talks about that it may cause another to stumble. And the principle of the message is still today that we are our brother's keeper. We must not do things that can affect our brothers and sisters or cause them to stumble. Do not say, well, I'm grown, this is my business. It's my business, it's my business. We are all trying to make it to heaven, sisters, and we should want to help and not to hinder one another. Let's look at the last sin in nature, the sin of disobedience. Actually, all sin is disobedience to God. There are many examples in the Old and the New Testament of those who disobeyed God. Remember Lot's wife when she turned and wasn't supposed to in Genesis 19:17 and turned to a pillar of salt? What about that young prophet in 1 Kings 13? When he was told not to eat, go back and eat with someone and to not to return to the way that he had came, and he listened to the old prophet and did so and was consumed by the lion. What about Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6:6-7? And also, of course, King David, whom our theme of the month is about. In the New Testament, Paul warns Christians in Galatians 1:6-8, I marvel not that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. If we do this, we are disobeying God. We must not alter or change God's divine commandments. If he said it in his word, we must trust and obey. Noah didn't disobey God when he said, use gopher wood. He knew using any other wood was not prohibited and it was not commanded by God. Even in the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The command is told for what we are to preach, not to preach our feelings or any politics or things, but the gospel, God's saving power, how Christ died, he was buried, and he rose, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. We can preach in everywhere, all over, all areas of the world. It is commanded by God. Also, look at baptism in Romans 6 and verse 4. It tells us we are buried by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. If we substitute that with sprinkling, it's being disobedient. Remember, we are to be buried. It means submerged. We disobey if we do not keep God's commandments. Sisters, we can overcome sin. We can. We can be like David, who was a man after God's own heart, who committed sin, and he asked for repentance. He asked to change. Repentance means to change. And if we obey the gospel, we can get forgiveness and overcome sin. Doesn't mean that we're going to not sin, but we can get forgiveness. The faithful Christian who through weakness or even ignorance transgressed the will of God may receive forgiveness by approaching God through Jesus. In 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2, it tells us if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He appeased for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole entire world. Thank you, Jesus. Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and 13 that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can overcome sin. Let's look at 11 things that are desirable if we are to successfully overcome sin. Number one, we must recognize deceitfulness of sin. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes in as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says he dresses up nice, even appears good, to trick Christians into sinning. We have to be careful and study the nature of sin before we become victims. Number two, we must acknowledge weakness acknowledge our weakness. David, he acknowledged his in verse 4 and 5. And we must also realize that we can't do it on our own. We are mere humans. And everyone has weakness. Remember, when you did your job interview, if you've ever done a job interview, when the interviewer asks you, what are some of your weaknesses? We all have them. We cannot defeat it until we freely recognize it. In Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Number 3, determined to mortify sin, put it to death. We must ask God to help us. Pray. We must pray and ask for strength to overcome temptation and not to fail. We must have faith and not waver, as James 1:6-7 says. And number 4, we must try our best to have, we must try our best to resist sin. In James 4, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Have a sincere, conscious effort. Exert all your efforts to conquer, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:26-27. I therefore run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. He said he had to fight and he had to buffet, practice self-control. Just as Paul struggled, we will, and we must heed and fight and buffet our body. Number 5, look for a way of escape. One of the blessed of all promises is expressed in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Number 6, avoid tempting situations. Yes, we must cautiously stay as far away from it as we can. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith, love and steadfastness, gentleness. Number 7, be vigilant, alert, watchful. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says the devil does his most effective work when we become complacent. It is then that we relax our guard and he is able to place before us temptation for which we are no longer prepared. So be vigilant, be watchful and alert. Number 8, fill our lives with good. We know the saying that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And it's true. As Christians, we have to root out sin. We cannot keep it out permanently without filling the void created with what is good. And number 9, secure help from other Christians. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:2 to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need each other, sisters. And number 10, to pray. The closest friend of all we know is God. He is attentive to the petitions of his children. Matthew 7:7 tells us to ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? This includes asking him for wisdom and strength needed in resisting temptation. Pray all times, especially when we feel that we are being tempted. Do a silent prayer to God in the midst of the temptation. It will be heard, my sisters, as quickly as one offered in solitude in your own closet. Pray without ceasing. And number 11, trust God. Prayer implies that we trust him. If you pray, you have to trust him. When we pray to him, we must place our full confidence in him, trusting that he will do his part if we also do our part. There can be no room for doubt. Success in overcoming sin depends on God and the sinner, and one must be a disciple of Jesus Christ who obeys the gospel. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, Romans 6:23. Sin can be overcome by forgiveness, moving to a heart of forgiveness. God forgives us by virtue of the atoning blood of Christ Jesus. It is made possible by divine grace. In Ephesians 1:7, as Christians, we know that as we have been baptized into Christ, our previous sins are taken away. And we are assured that when through weakness we slip after becoming a Christian, he may, through prayer and repentance, the Father may forgive us. Repenting with a sincere heart, as David cries out in Psalm 51, to be restored and delivered from his guilt. Let us have a repentant heart, sisters, so that the Father will hear our cries. And he will forgive our sins, for we all sin and fall short. But thank God for Jesus, paving the way for salvation. We must allow the Spirit to dwell in us, 1 Corinthians 6:19. God bestows his blessings through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, Paul tells us that he will grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in the inner man. Thank God for forgiveness. Sisters, let us strive daily to move our hearts from sin to be pleasing to God. I thank you for your time, and I pray that I said something to encourage you on your Christian journey. May God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Natissa, for that powerful, powerful lesson. Now, at this time, we're going to have our closing prayer, and that will be done by Sister Dorothy Rouse Jenkins.
Good evening, sisters. May we bow. Dear righteous, almighty Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Father, for the forgiveness of sin, and I ask you at this time to forgive me of all my sins and transgressions so this prayer will not be hindered from reaching your throne. We want to thank you for what our ears have heard and our spiritual eyes have been made to behold through the teaching of your holy and divine word. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us that we will not willfully practice a lifestyle of sin, but we will be the example you will have your children to be in a world of darkness and sin. We ask a special blessing be upon your servant, our sister, Natissa Thompson, for having dug deep down into the riches of your word to present a lesson that was edifying and uplifting to each one of us. May God's word produce in us good works. Thank you for our Bible series that we look forward to every Friday night to study a portion of your holy and divine word. Bless all of our program participants who made our program the success it has been tonight. Bless each sister that is on the call, especially those who may be calling in for the very first time. May the program we present here at Lady Prayer Warriors, COC, entice them to want to be a part of such a great ministry. Dear Father, we are mindful of those who are sick and on their beds of affliction. We ask your blessings of healing and restoring them to a reasonable portion of their health and strength, if it is your will. Bless those who are bereaved at this time, grieving the loss of their loved ones. Strengthen, comfort, and give them your peace. Continue to bless our Lady Prayer Warriors COC ministry and the entire administration team members for the work we do to your glory and honor. Be with us tonight, dear Father. Be with us in our various dwelling places. Watch over us and protect our families and loved ones. Dismiss us from the Bible series program tonight, but never from your presence. This is our prayer and petition we uplift to you in the mighty and powerful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Dorothy, for that powerful closing prayer.